Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. Elizabeth Cupid Cavalli and I, Lou Cavalli, have been bringing you this cutting-edge program since 2003. We hope you heard the October 10th and 11th program. If not, check it out at our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Guest host Christian J. Pinto discussed his new documentary, DVD, American Jesuits. You can order this outstanding DVD. Just call 888-780-5049. And you can also go to adullamfilms.com, and that's spelled A-D-U-L-L-A-M-films.com. One more time, the phone number is 888-780-5049, and their website is adullamfilms.com. Chris Pinto had a very interesting information on Rome's involvement in the Abraham Lincoln assassination. He also brought out the unfettered illegal immigration coming into the U.S. This is a plan to facilitate Rome's world theocracy. It's beginning by making these illegals, in their opinion, Democrat Party voters. This immigration travesty being assisted by the Jesuit El Paso Annunciation Church plays a significant role in this upsetting October news. Then we have the Haitians. Perhaps they stand alone in the kind of things they've been doing that upset the traditional American communities, and that which they have been foisted upon. We thank you, wonderful listeners, for your continued help to keep us on air, and for your prayers for Elizabeth's health recovery. We ask for special prayers, too, for the health and the work of our faithful Pennsylvania doctor friend. And at this time, we need, most of all, a $100 check or a $250 check written out to WWCR. Money order will do nicely, too. To help us, you can send it to me, Lou Cavalli, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now, on the ground, video Springfield, Ohio residents describe Haitian invasion like something out of Mad Max. That was from Infowars.com, September 10th, 2024. On the Monday Alex Jones Show, Jones covered on-the-ground reports from Springfield, Ohio, detailing the pet-eating Haitian aliens who are terrorizing the townspeople. And we have a bit more detail from the Fort Fairfield Maine Journal. September 18th, 2024, Haitian immigrants now overrunning Springfield, Ohio. City Council hears public complaints of immigrants sleeping on front lawns, eating local pets and geese. Dateline Springfield. The city of Springfield, Ohio has swollen in population from 58,000 in 2020 to nearly 80,000 today due to a wave of Haitian immigrants who have fled from their war-torn country. These immigrants are in the U.S. legally under a temporary status granted them by Joe Biden's handlers. The rapid influx of federally funded immigrants has caused a massive increase in property values and rents, as the immigrants are able to use federal housing vouchers to outbid the locals who have lived in Springfield all their lives and are now finding themselves homeless, as they are unable to pay the artificially inflated rent prices caused by the federal government's immigrant housing program. But the worst of it is the malevolent acts done by some of the immigrants there. At a recent city commission public hearing, several longtime Springfield inhabitants complained about the mismanagement of unhoused migrants, the garbage, safety issues, shoplifting, and social decay following in their wake, and that some immigrants are eating ducks out of the local park, gutting roadkill in public view, and stealing farmers' livestock. There are also anecdotal stories about pets, such as cats and dogs, going missing, presumably being eaten by some of the immigrants. In Haiti, some groups do eat cats as a delicacy during annual festivals, the way many Americans eat turkey during Thanksgiving. Then also from the Fort Fairfield Journal, September 18th, headline, Venezuelan prison gang now branching out across the U.S. During Joe Biden's great immigration influx, the country of Venezuela released most of its violent offenders from prison and allowed them to go to the U.S. to request, quote, amnesty, unquote. A faction of those prisoners, who belong to the violent drug and human sex trafficking gang, Tren de Aragua, had recently taken over an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, but have recently branched out operations to Dallas and Chicago. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris says there is no problem with gang activity among the millions of illegal immigrants allowed into the country under her watch with Joe Biden. The massive number of illegal immigrants is reportedly the initiative of big business in the U.S., who used Joe Biden to bring in a vast number of low-wage employees so they wouldn't have to move their companies to third-world countries to benefit from that cheap labor. Meanwhile, the border is still wide open, and gang bangers are still being allowed through. Sweden to pay immigrants to go back to their home country. Sweden is going to pay immigrants up to $34,000 to leave their country as part of a bold new remigration plan from the ruling right-wing Swedish Democrats. Currently, Sweden pays less than $1,000 to migrants to leave, half that amount for children. Some say this will lead to a great repatriation. Starting in 2026, immigrants who choose to leave the Nordic country voluntarily will be eligible for financial assistance of up to 350,000 Swedish krona, approximately $34,000, up from the current 10,000 krona. And this is Lou speaking. If it makes it into amazing reality, perhaps a future Trump administration could consider the idea from Sweden. Now, at the same time, and this is Lou again, immigrants are flooding in. American farmers are being destroyed. This came from SlayNews.com, and the date was September 5th, 2024. American farmland is being seized in order to advance the globalist green agenda of the Biden-Harris administration. Five states in the Midwest are currently battling the construction of controversial carbon dioxide pipelines. The pipelines are putting farms in jeopardy as land is being confiscated from owners. A carbon dioxide pipeline captures CO2 emissions from facilities like ethanol plants. The CO2 is then compressed and transported via a pipeline to a site where it can be stored underground indefinitely. Now, this is Lou once again. And again, you'll want to hear that October 9th, 10th program from Christian J. Pinto on Jesuits in America. You can, again, get that by going to 888, telephone 888-780-5049, or go to adalamfilms.com to get that new DVD, and it's a great one. Now, LifeSite News, an update on the Jesuit education. The headline, Boston College professor says pro-LGBT student program closely aligns with Jesuit principles. This appeared Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024, by Gavin Fahrenholt. A college professor at Boston College will study ways to promote the empowerment, that's in quotes, empowerment of LGBT teens with nearly $2 million from the Department of Education. Psychology professor Paul Podiet and other researchers, quote, will develop, refine, and conduct an initial pilot study of an intervention program for LGBTQ plus students, unquote, according to the Institute of Education Sciences grant. Boston College is a Jesuit Catholic university. The Catholic Church teaches that homosexual acts are a serious sin. The Catholic Church also teaches marriage is between one man and one woman. The participating Gender Sexuality Alliance clubs will meet and organize activities to, quote, guide students to reflect on and build self-awareness around their identities and facilitate action to raise LGBTQ plus awareness and affirmation within the school or community, unquote, according to the grant. C. C.J. Doyle, executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts, had a different view on the project. Doyle said the project's goals were based on false assumptions about the struggles that LGBT students are said to be facing. He called it, quote, appalling, unquote. But, quote, unsurprising, unquote, Boston College would be involved with this project. He said, quote, this so-called empowerment program is founded on the fraudulent premise that same-sex attracted students need special interventions because they face alleged unsafe learning environments. Doyle said that unsafe environments means, quote, any institutional reluctance to uncritically and unhesitatingly affirm the sexual choices of LGBT students. LGBT advocates, Doyle said, want to, quote, capture the American educational system and make it an organ of LGBTQ ideology and propaganda. And he went on to say, Boston College forfeited what little remained of its Catholic identity many years ago. What would be surprising and unusual and historic would be a story about a BC faculty member who supported Catholic teaching, unquote. Now we have the Amstapo update. And this is from September 18th, again, the Fort Fairfield, Maine Journal. Military weapons contractor Lockheed Martin has developed a surveillance platform designed to allegedly detect, quote, fake news, unquote, and pictures. The platform is designed to surveil and scan everyone and everything in existence and will be used by government to deem news and information as real or fake. The government plans to use this technology to shut down their political opponents in order to amplify the government's fake narratives that they spout out every day on the corporate legacy media, a media system few people even believe, much less pay attention to these days. The target of this technology is expected to be the alternate media, which is bypassing the government-friendly corporate media en masse. It also has this little article. Ford Motor Company has announced plans to place audio and data monitoring devices in all their new vehicles going forward. Surveillance system will be designed to listen to conversations in the vehicle, as well as track data from portable devices for the purposes of selling that data to advertisers for targeted advertising. As with all other surveillance systems in use today, all of that information will be shared with government bureaucrats without a search warrant, so they can glean through it and come up with crimes they can charge the unwitting users with. Currently, nearly all smartphones in existence use this technology to spy on the private conversations of their users. And then we have some COVID updates. World's top ballerina, who was forced to get COVID jab, drops dead at 29. People's Voice, September 15th, top ballet dancer, Michaela Mabinti DePrince, who was forced to get the COVID-19 vaccine and subsequent boosters to perform in shows across America, has dropped dead at the age of 29. And then 33 U.S. nurses died suddenly this week amid unprecedented death surge among COVID-vaxxed. August 29th, the People's Voice. 33 nurses who were told the COVID mRNA shots were safe and effective died suddenly and unexpectedly in the U.S. this week as the death toll continues surging among the vaccinated and boosted. How long before we as a society can have an honest discussion about what is happening to the COVID vaccinated before our eyes? And 9 fully vaccinated high school football players died suddenly in August. That's August of this year, 2024. In the reporting, no one even mentions the possibility of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine injury, which is the top suspect in each of these cases.
All right. And yes, we know that we're talking about our theme, the program entitled October Darkness, And it begins with just one of those warnings that we said we're on the air to tell you about, crucial to you and your family to know about. And I don't think you're going to turn on CNN or Fox News and hear this. So this is Bob Unruh, October 20th on WorldNet Daily. Tyson Foods, going protein-centric, working on bug plant, buys into European corporation, already setting up procession operations. Tyson Foods is world-renowned for its packages of chicken meat that are ubiquitous in grocery stores, and it produces other meat for retail sales, too, and soon bugs. Online, it boasts of its, quote, protein-centric, end of quote, plans. The company, based in Springdale, Arkansas, states, "We build our name on providing generations of families with wholesome, great-tasting chicken. But today's Tyson Foods is so much more. As values and behaviors around food have changed, so have we. Today, we're innovators uniquely positioned to reshape what it means to feed our world. Today, we not only have the fastest-growing portfolio of protein-centric brands, but we also offer greater transparency in everything we do." End of quote. The details about its newest plan come from Slay News. That reports Tyson, quote, "America's largest meat producer," end quote, end of quote, is working on a partnership with a company linked to the World Economic Forum. Lou, do I hear a ding, ding, ding?
Ding,
the New
ding,
World Order,
ding, yes.
Ominous Creation Society?
Yep.
Yes, quote, "to open a major insect processing plant in the United States," end of quote. I believe I'd better quote that again. The purpose, you see, of this company linked to the World Economic Forum, the WEF, is, quote, "to open a major insect processing plant in the United States." Tyson, the report said, is buying a stake in Protix, that's spelled capital P-R-O-T-I-X, capital B, capital V, a Netherlands-based company dealing with insect, quote, protein. The company has also been hailed by the World Economic Forum, WEF, and was awarded with Globalist Organization's Technology Pioneer Award, the report explained. And Keyes Arts, that's spelled capital K-E-E-S, and the last name is capital A-A-R-T-S, the CEO is described as a member of the WEF. Now, Lou, we have to stop right here. Do we realize that something evil, something very sinister, is creeping and crawling this way rather quickly?
Because we sure do.
We now are embedding the WEF creatures as CEOs in our food companies.
That's right.
This is not good. And you know, before airtime, you and I were trying to think which was more evil, the digital currency or the food shortage. And we said they sort of go hand in hand because, you know, if you're starved and they are submitting, getting you to submit, then you'll submit to the digital currency. And once the digital currency is in, you'll be told you can't buy any food anyway. So they're kind of like the chicken in the hen and the chicken in the egg. Now, we're just so shocked. The CEO of an American company is a member of the WEF. Back to the article. The company's goal is to set up a bug plant in the U.S., an operation that will make bug-based meal and oil for use in fish feed and dog food. Oh, you're so relieved out there, aren't you? It's just going to be for the fish and the dogs, but also for humans. CFO John Tyson said, quote, "It's a multi-billion dollar industry opportunity that has tremendous growth potential, and we see Protix as being a leader there," end of quote. Arts expects the U.S. operation to be up and running by 2025, but the location hasn't been announced. The report noted the demands by the WEF that, quote, "the masses must give up beef due to the alleged, quote, emissions involved in producing meat. Insects are the necessary substitute," the WEF claims. Slay News, and that's spelled capital S-L-A-Y, you know, as in killing, slay. Slay News said an additive made of powdered crickets already is being used in pizza, pasta, and other foods in Europe.
And Elizabeth usually reads the died suddenly obituaries to you from our local Maryland newspaper. This time I noted one in the Sunday, October 22nd edition. A lady by the name of Cynthia, 68, passed away suddenly on October 17th, 2023. And in connection with that kind of thing, here's something from Natural News.
And before you get to that, we just heard from one of our listeners in Missouri, and that listener kept a record in her own area, which is a small rural area, of the deaths over a period of about 2 to 3 months. And she wrote that the average longevity, I guess, of a person is around the year 80 or 83. And so by listing these deaths, she could figure out the percentage of people who died young. You know, they didn't reach what they should have reached, and it was about 47%. And I asked you whether that was statistically significant.
I believe it is. I'd have to research it a little bit more, but it certainly sounds impressive to me.
You told me you thought that was.
Yeah.
And that would mean even looking at variables like, maybe accidents in cars or something, you know, causes of the mortality. 47% is just too high, isn't it?
I think that it is, yes.
Yeah, now go ahead. What do you have to contribute to that, too?
Yes. This article from Natural News appeared not quite a year ago, but it's still of great importance, crucial information. The headline, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny warns of death tsunami caused by COVID-19 vaccines. According to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the death tsunami caused by the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines has now arrived. And she says, since March of 2020, every single thing I've said was going to happen has. This death tsunami that I've been talking about for the last 2 years, it's arriving right now, she said. I don't know if that was the Holy Spirit moving me. I think it was part Holy Spirit and part scientific knowledge and what I was able to study and learn and see along the way, unquote. Tenpenny cited government data to reveal the more than 1 in 73 vaccinated people in the United Kingdom who died in 2020. The doctor added that about 1,000 people die in the UK every week thanks to the mass COVID-19 vaccination program there. Moreover, Tenpenny said more than 900 vaccinated professional athletes have already died, mainly from myocarditis, and that, of course, is a heart muscle inflammation. She then cited the phenomenon of individuals with keys and other metallic things sticking to their arms and foreheads, as seen on social media. These small magnetic charges are clearly the result of heavy proportions of graphene oxide in the initial batch of COVID-19 vaccines. One article even cited a vaccinated Indian who discovered, quote, steel and iron articles, including coins, spoons, forks, knives, and bike keys, unquote, sticking to his skin. While the phenomenon has died down as the months passed, Tenpenny credited it to the big pharma companies changing the recipe for the COVID-19 vaccines. Nevertheless, she reiterated that the graphene oxide is still present in the vaccine, even though the formula was revised. The physician also revealed that the COVID-19 injections are a slow way to kill off the human race. She said, quote, they found a way to slow kill people with this. They want 3.5 billion, that's with a B, billion people off the planet. And they've learned how to do this the slow kill way. So most unsuspecting people don't connect the dots. And she went on to say, anybody who's listening to this should never, ever, ever take another shot of any kind ever again under any circumstance. And her warnings also extended to the new bivalent flu COVID vaccines now being sold on the market. According to the physician, on this also a related article, vaccine expert warns the unvaccinated to never take COVID vaccines. According to the physician, the mass deaths of vaccinated began just about a year after the forced COVID shot started. As of October 24th, 2022, there were 21.8 million excess deaths dating back from January 1st, 2021. Prior to the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, that number was below $5 million. Again, compare that. As of October 24th, 2022, it was $21.8 million. Before that, only $5
million. And Lou, we interject, this is Elizabeth Cavalli again, that there was some VAERS data that at one point that showed there were something like 27,000 deaths, but we learned that only 1% of the deaths are usually reported to the VAERS system. So if you take 100 times 27,000, you got something like 2,700,000 deaths in
the
U.S.
Right.
So we're just reflecting that we cannot take any of this data just at face value without some in-depth interpretations of the statistical meaning of it all. And we add that to all those coffin increases in that North American company, that, you know, and the actuarial debris, I guess we can say, from the insurance companies, too many deaths. Were they going to even be able to pay out everywhere? So we do think that it is underestimated, don't we?
Oh, yes. It does seem like a gross underestimate.
So it may be many, many more deaths than even Dr. Tenpenny said. And by the way, we must continue to pray for her. Apparently, she had a recent stroke. And we know many, many years ago, her facility was burned out by the New World Order. That was way back, maybe around 2006 or so. And she had put out a book about forced vaccinations. So, you see, they wanted to quell that information from ever reaching the public. We ask you to think about your friends, your family, your church buddies, and tell them about DividedKingdomRadio.com and tell them to go there and learn the truth. Now, let's pick up that article from Dr. Tenpenny.
Yes, and she says, or the narrator of this article says, moreover, some 150,000 excess deaths among Americans younger than 45 were recorded during the first 2.5 years of the pandemic. Half of those deaths occurred just in the past year since the COVID-19 shots were introduced under the Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed.
Yes, Lou, the awful afterglow of the COVID shot death and disability plan is continuing into the October darkness of 2023. Here's the Western Journal by Mayor Clayton, October 20th. Vaccine cheerleader Stephen Colbert, forced to stop filming show after doctor's orders. Late-night host Stephen Colbert had to halt filming of his CBS show this week because he has once again contracted COVID-19. Deadline reported Monday that he was going to record the late show from his home after contracting the virus. On Wednesday, however, Colbert announced a change of plans. Sorry to say, per doctor's orders, I'm going to be out for the rest of the week, he said in a statement on the show's X social media account. And we have to interject again here, if some of you haven't heard yet, Twitter is now called X. Going back to the article, resting up so that I can deliver the handcrafted artisanal, oh, Lou, help me, we looked up the pronunciation of that. Is that right? Artisanal, I think.
I think so.
I believe so. Artisanal talk show that we so enjoy serving you, Colbert continued. In the meantime, a heady blend of Paxlovid and onions in my socks. Thank you, Fallon. I guess that's Jimmy Fallon. Will be rebuilding my immune system, he said, referring to NBC late night host Jimmy Fallon. Attached was an image of a Get Well box featuring socks and onions. A message from Stephen. Sorry to say, per doctor's orders, going to be out for the rest of the week, resting up, so that I can deliver the handcrafted artisanal talk show that we so enjoy serving you. In the meantime, and it's a repetition, I see, a heady blend of Paxlovid and onions in my socks. And that was from The Late Show, October 18th.
And this isn't Colbert's first go-around with COVID-19. He previously had the virus in April 2022 and had to cancel a few shows. A month later, he had to once again halt production as he was, quote, experiencing symptoms consistent with the recurrence of COVID, unquote, according to a post by the Late Show account. Stephen is experiencing, and I guess this is the actual quote from that, Stephen is experiencing symptoms consistent with the recurrence of COVID of COVID. Out of an abundance of caution for his staff, guests, and audience, he will be isolating for a few additional days. The Late Show will not be taping new episodes until further notice. And that was put out on May 9th, 2022. The late night host has been an outspoken person in his support for the COVID-19 vaccine. He had a, quote, educational segment, unquote, on his show titled The Vax, V-A-X, Scene, where he tried to encourage viewers to get the shot. In it, iconic songs were reworked to promote the coronavirus vaccine. For example, the Late Show version of the 1954 song, Mr. Sandman, had these lyrics. Sandman, go get the jab. It's safe. It's made by scientists in a lab. Colbert also took the iconic tequila dance that Paul Rubens did in Pee-wee's Big Adventure and reinvented it. Five people danced around as the one-word song's lyric, Tequila, was changed to Vaccine. The comedian's cringy version included himself and four individuals dressed in syringe costumes. And we'll add, this grotesque drama of death shows us the role of COVID vaccines in our theme, the October darkness. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli's radio monologue amplifies it more.
Divided Kingdom Radio Monologue, October 25th, 2023, by Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli. October Darkness, Death Rituals. Each year, at this time, the satanic occult darkness increases over Earth, a preview of evils, intensities, and pervasiveness that will no doubt be unimaginable during the coming reign of Antichrist. Number one, some things almost too unspeakably heinous to report on included the independent co.uk October 2nd, 2019 report, Man Drowned His Six-Year-Old Son While Trying to Cast Out a Demon, Police Say. Here is an excerpt. An American man faces a federal murder charge for allegedly holding his six-year-old son's face under hot water for several minutes to cast out a, quote, demon. Pablo Martinez told police that in the past week his son was possessed by a demon. While he was bathing his son and his other child on Thursday at the Pascua Yaqui Indian Reservation near Tucson, Arizona, Mr. Martinez told investigators he saw something evil in his son and had to get rid of the demon. The boy became unnaturally angry, Mr. Martinez told investigators, so he allegedly held his son's head under the bathtub tap for 5 to 10 minutes so the hot water would run into his mouth. The water was casting out the demon, Mr. Martinez told investigators. Number two, LifeSite News. UN celebrates International Safe Abortion Day, but it's never safe for the babies who are murdered. The World Health Organization is, predictably, leading the charge, partnering with the Human Reproduction Program, HRP, to promote the fundamental importance of access to safe abortion care for the health and rights of women and girls, emphasis added, through a photo exhibit co-hosted by the United Nations at the Palais des Nations in Geneva. Number three, LifeSite News, October 13, 2023. Planned Parenthood International pleads for donors to help rebuild destroyed abortion clinic in Gaza. Their October 10th appeal reads thus. The destruction of a PFPPA clinic in Gaza after an Israeli airstrike has left an already extremely vulnerable population with even fewer options to receive SRH care without humanitarian aid. Make an emergency gift, emphasis added. The recent Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel have shocked the world, and as we have analyzed here at the Divided Kingdom, may have complicated purposes in mind by the overarching NWO kingpins. Nothing in the facts reported can be blithely accepted as truth without long, careful investigation to come. But what is apparent is that there has been a war within a war in both Israel and the United States. That inner war has been the harm and death from the COVID-19 bioweapon and the subsequent COVID vaccine depopulation. Pastor Jonathan Cahn, in his new book, The Josiah Manifesto, makes an airtight case using astounding parallels and synchronization of calendar dates to prove that the arrival of our country's pandemic came exactly in tandem with the dates of the inception of abortion on demand, legalized in the U.S. in 1970, and more parallels with the arrival of Roe v. Wade itself. Kahn explains this was God's direct judgment on America, where COVID was worst, for the 60 million unborn slaughtered in the womb. God's judgment concerning abortion may not be restricted to the U.S. when direct rebellion to his sacred most sacred laws occurs elsewhere too. LifeSite News reports October 13, 2023, Israel itself loosened regulations on abortion following the overturning of Roe v. Wade in the U.S. in June 2022. The Associated Press reports that abortion is widely available in the country and is far less controversial than in America. Is there a catastrophic result to this almost eerie Israeli replay in the same homeland of what their ancient people did in their grove worship, slaughtering their infants in the fires of Moloch and Baal? For every action, there is a reaction. Perhaps Israel's new enthusiastic loosening of abortion regulations is a boomerang. For the innocent also suffer during any judgment of God on a nation. Choosing to use Satan's aborted fetal cell-derived COVID vaccine on a child, see Jesus' discussion of the millstone, is unconscionable. And then prostituting that child to market that evil vaccine heaps more coals of fire and judgment on the perpetrators. Lou Caverly showed me a photo shot of young Yonatan Moshe Ehrlichman. He had a shining, innocent countenance, one that showed he trusted others. He also appeared somewhat fragile physically. And that brings us to his story, number four. LifeSite News, October 13, 2023. Israeli boy featured in COVID vaccine campaign dies of heart attack at age 8. An Israeli boy featured in a video used to push COVID vaccines on children in a nationwide campaign died tragically from a sudden heart attack in late September. The boy was only 8 years old. According to reports, Yonatan Moshe Ehrlichman, grandson of a distinguished physician, Dr. Matty Ehrlichman, died unexpectedly of cardiac arrest while taking a bath. The 8-year-old boy is said to have slipped under the water after his heart suddenly stopped beating, causing him to drown. After being rushed to Hadassah Hospital on Mount Scopus, Yonatan died a few days later on September 28th. In 2020, at the age of 5, the child had appeared in a video produced by the Regional Council of Mate Binyamin. The video was part of a government program aimed at pushing COVID vaccines on children, despite the nearly universal immunity of children to COVID-19. The video made Yonatan a, quote, poster child for the vaccine campaign in Israel, which became one of the most draconian nations in the world for vaccine measures. The video aired just before the nationwide vaccine campaign began. Evil and God's judgment are not restricted to just the U.S. or Israel. Last year, an Argentine boy who had similarly served as a national poster child in an ad pushing COVID vaccination for children died suddenly at age 4. According to reports, Santino Godoy Blanco was rushed to the hospital because of a fever and vomiting and died of, quote, bilateral pneumonia. Before passing, his mom says he took off his mask and gave her little kisses because he couldn't talk anymore, one post on X stated. Almighty God is still seeking deeply sorrowful, repentant hearts worldwide.
But repentance doesn't make profits in the world. Here from WorldNet Daily, October 20th, 2023, we have this headline. Pfizer hikes price of COVID antiviral Paxlovid from $530 to nearly $1,400. Increase is expected to exacerbate already poor uptake of the drug. Pfizer on Wednesday revealed that it raised the list price of a course of Paxlovid its life-saving antiviral drug used to reduce the risk of severe COVID-19 in those most vulnerable to nearly $1,400, more than double the roughly $530 the U.S. government has paid for the treatment in the emergency phase of the pandemic. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla had noted in an investor call at the beginning of the week that the company would increase the price of Paxlovid as it moves from government distribution to the commercial market at the end of this year. But he did not announce the new list price then. Instead, the company revealed a more than twofold increase in a letter to pharmacies and clinics dated Wednesday. The Wall Street Journal was the first to report the list price of $1,390 after viewing that letter. And then we have, also from WorldNet Daily, we can add this little macabre item to the theater of the grotesque with Stephen Colbert and his four singing, dancing syringes. The headline, CDC says some people might need longer needle for the next vaccine. Healthcare workers sometimes use the wrong needle length for people with bigger bodies. Again, from WorldNet Daily, October 19th. Some people may benefit from the longer vaccination needles, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Recent discussions on social media have shed light on the fact that some people with bigger bodies should be given certain intramuscular vaccines, like the COVID-19 vaccine, with longer needles. But while this recommendation comes from health authorities like the CDC, experts worry it may not always get put into practice. And then, I believe we switched to you. Is that right, Elizabeth? No, I think I have something here.
I think you have a little more.
I believe I do. And, yes, my mother, my grandmother, and I think everyone's mothers and grandmothers always trusted to check to the good housekeeping seal of approval on appliances they might have bought. The September good housekeeping issue had this article that is so amazing. I will quote it now, entitled "The Costs of Conspiracies." During the height of the COVID-19 epidemic, there was a flood of conspiracy theories pushing false health claims. Masking is dangerous. The vaccine will alter your DNA. The epidemic was caused by 5G cell towers, and so many more. But this kind of thinking, in which frightening or tragic events are seen as secret plots on malevolent sets of powerful people or organizations, isn't just a recent phenomenon. Conspiracy theories tend to flourish at times of crisis, such as after 9/11 and after mass shootings, and people often turn to them as a way to cope with uncertainty and quell anxiety. In truth, however, research suggests that embracing falsehoods about politics, technology, shootings, and terrorist attacks can raise anxiety more, and that in turn can bring on other issues, such as sleep problems, substance abuse, and depression. And these beliefs can undermine well-being in a host of others, other ways as well. Quote, conspiracy theories are more dangerous than people realize, says Daniel Jolly, Ph.D., a social psychologist at Northumbria University in the United Kingdom. He went on to say they have measurable emotional and physical health effects, and they can compel us to do things we never thought we'd do. Disown family and friends, reject science, and even commit violence, unquote. Research shows, for instance, that people who believe in a range of conspiracies are less likely to take simple steps to protect their health and are more likely to try unproven and possibly dangerous treatments. They also tend to be chronically angry, a state that can lead to high blood pressure. Another big health risk for people caught in a dark, tangled web of conspiracies. Another big health risk for people caught in a dark, tangled web of conspiracies, isolation. Quote, they withdraw from family and friends in part because people roll their eyes or argue with them, says Sophia Moskalenko, Ph.D., co-author of Pastels and Pedophiles, Inside the Mind of QAnon. She went on to say, so they retreat into these forums where everyone gets them, and gets is in quotation marks there. The cost is real and high, not just for the person who believes the conspiracy, but for those who love them, unquote. Connectedness, after all, is highly important to our health. There are links between social support and lower rates of anxiety and depression, cancer, infectious disease, and cardiovascular disease. Connection is even associated with lower mortality rates. Experts say that quashing conspiracy theories on a societal scale will require, among other things, electing people who are committed to telling the truth on a personal level. If you have someone in your life with a conspiracy mindset, quote, shunning, isolating, and shaming is the last thing you should do, says Moskalenko. And she went on to say, trying to debate their beliefs will only make them more entrenched, unquote. Ed Wright, see what to do instead. One, walk and talk in nature. Research shows that this makes people less aggressive and more open to opinions, Moskalenko says. You might tell them, quote, I'm worried about how much time you're spending online. Or say, you seem as if you've developed some anxiety. Do you think it would make sense to talk to a therapist, unquote. Number two, empathize. Their concern is real to them. Saying, I understand how you feel, can have a profoundly positive effect on their willingness to have a healthy discussion, says Moskalenko. Three, ask a simple question. I recommend that people ask, why did you start to believe this? Says Mick West, author of Escaping the Rabbit Hole. He says also that takes them back to a time before they adopted the beliefs and perhaps lets them see the changes from a different perspective. And four, lower expectations. Quote, change takes time and patience, says West. Remind yourself that the primary goal is to maintain the relationship and the secondary goal is to help them see that the conspiracy theory is wrong, unquote. Now, this is me, Lou, speaking. Satan's reprobate mind is twisted beyond belief, all to intimidate those who tell the real truth.
Oh, yes, Lou. It was just a despicable essay, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now, you know, they're saying that these are conspiracies, that, you know, you have to seek the truth. Well, we brought you the truth. We brought you the fact that Tyson Foods is now going to be producing bugs and that they have a CEO from the World Economic Forum. That is truth. That is documented. And so now we must move on quickly because, in a sense, we're bringing you a program tonight about food, and we're bringing you a program about how you cannot trust the mainstream media, not the women's magazines anymore, not the food magazines. No, in this darkening October 2023, the November issue of Food Network magazine arrived, and it's supposed to be Thanksgiving, you see. But here, what we had on page 20, lab-grown meat is looking good. Now that the USDA has approved its first cell-cultured meat, Michelin-starred chefs have started working their magic with it. At China Chilcano in Washington, D.C., Jose Andre is serving good meats, cultivated chicken marinated in special sauce. And at Bar Kren in San Francisco, Chef Dominique Kren is frying Upside Foods lab-grown chicken in a special Ricotta Negro-infused tempura batter. You'll have to wait to experiment at home. The meat isn't yet in grocery stores. Now, we have to get to the article that we had some time back because this is getting very dangerous now. And we start with this article, June 24, 2022, by Ethan Huff from naturalnews.com. Lab-cultured, GMO-laden fake meat is a toxic abomination to be avoided at all costs. It was never enough just to tamper with your produce and grains. The biotechnology industry is now setting its sights on replacing all meat with genetically engineered imposters, too. Beef, poultry, fish, and dairy products are all on the chopping block as the architects behind the Great Reset shift society away from real, nutritious food and straight into laboratory abominations from hell. Using technologies like synthetic biology and precision fermentation, mad scientists are concocting cultured, quote, meat synthetics, along with other cell-based and gene-edited parodies of real food. Quote, transitioning to cultured meat made from animal cells grown in a petri dish is a great reset goal for the global food industry, warns Dr. Joseph Mercola. Quote, the aim is to control populations by creating dependence on private companies that control the food supply. The Wellcome Trust co-founded what is known as the EAT Forum, which developed a concept called the planetary health diet that will be forced on the global population, at least that which remains following the Great Culling. It entails cutting meat and dairy intake by up to 90% and replacing it largely with foods made in laboratories along with cereals and oil, Mercola further explains. Aborted baby cows are used to create fake cell-based, quote, meat.
Back in 2017, we reported about the launch of Impossible Foods, a fake meat corporation backed by Bill Gates and Google. Not surprising was the revelation at that time that each glob of Impossible Foods, fake meat mush, is packed with GMOs, monosodium glutamate, that is MSG, derivatives, and other chemical horrors. It turns out that Impossible Foods has been just the start of a global transition effort to eradicate real food from animals and replace it with chemical, quote-unquote, foods from a lab. And more importantly, to the globalists, chemical foods that enrich wealthy billionaires at the expense of family farms. Creating cultured meat, also known as cell-based meat, involves a disturbing process by which fetal bovine serum, FBS, or the blood of cow fetuses, aborted, of course, is extracted and placed in petri dishes to grow what looks and supposedly tastes like real meat. Dr. Mercola writes, so cultured beef relies on the slaughter of both cows and unborn calves, which are drained of their blood while still alive. Unquote. The end product is nothing close to the real meat, bearing a composition that is unhealthy and, quite frankly, toxic. And this is exactly what the globalists want. A sick and dying human herd that is easily manageable and unable, both physically and cognitively, to resist their own tyranny and enslavement. We are almost there, as our society has become drenched in toxic industrial seed oils and so-called plant-based foods, which contain no animal fats. These processed food products contain high levels of linoleic acid, abbreviated LA, which is now understood to be a primary driver of chronic disease. None of this would be possible without private central banks and the fraudulent stock market pumping up these endeavors with endless fiat cash infusions, by the way. The investments that go into creating fake meat do not reflect what actual humans want, but rather what the powers that be want for all humanity, except for themselves, of course, assuming the globalists are even really human. The really disturbing part is that many of these toxic, lab-centric foods are being marketed as, quote, natural, unquote. Plant-based has become part of the healthy eating vernacular, even though it represents the opposite of real health. And here we have a quote. It seems that even with all the smarts and savvy in the natural products community, we have failed to understand that we are being targeted by a coordinated global campaign to force the adoption of synthetics in natural channels. And that's a warning by Alan Lewis, Vice President of Advocacy at Natural Grocers. And he goes on to say, the campaign is a spawn of the notorious GMO lobby, now emboldened and backed by technology moguls, unquote. And it says more stories like this one can be found at frankenfood.news.
This is so important that we're bringing you this life-saving news, because you are not part of the reprobate mind. It is the reprobate mind that moved America. After America turned away from honoring God and God's holy scriptures, then the reprobate mind is allowed to take over, in which white becomes black and evil becomes good and good becomes evil, so that in that Good Housekeeping article, the ones who are telling the truth, like Dr. Tenpenny, they are the ones who, like Jesus, when his hometown tried to throw him over the cliff, yes, they will not be honored. We will not be honored as truth tellers. We will be twisted into people who have a sickness that is a conspiracy theory kind of sickness, and we're to take walks. You're to do all those things. What an evil article that was in Good Housekeeping, and what an evil kind of promotion there in the Food Network magazine for Thanksgiving, that we would be going out to restaurants that are going to service this cell-cultured meat, whether it be chicken or beef. If you appreciate getting these warnings, and there will be a warning coming up soon about something that I was using and I thought was safe, and I had a lulu of a reaction, and that was erythritol, which is added. It's a sugar alcohol, and it's added to almost every form of stevia that you can find now. People thought they were finding a more natural sweetener than Splenda, and certainly we all know now that aspartame is very, very evil and very, very harmful to anyone in many, many ways, all kinds of things. The perhaps she's the late Dr. Betty Martini, we're not sure. She exposed all of this about aspartame, brain tumors, all kinds of things have come from it. But we have to say now, perhaps a little bit of sugar used, or a little bit of coconut sugar used, or fruit juices in your cooking and baking, it would be better. That's the plan I'm going to take, unless I can find pure stevia again that has no erythritol with it. I had found something one time, but I think that company was in Indiana, and now that company is in China. And I ordered something that was all powdered. In the days that we have with all the worries about the powdered things after the COVID shots and the remdesivir and the snake venom, am I going to really use that little powdered stuff from China? I think not. I'm going to sit in our dining room and probably mold till after we're gone. If you appreciated this information, you can help us. Write a check to Global Star Communications. Send it to P.O. Box 28, Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We send you our love and gratitude, and we give thanks to Almighty God for the divided kingdom and the listeners. Good night.